feel free to stop on over and say howdy. We're giving out WDEV bumper stickers, and you can grab one of those. It's just like this man right here just did. All right, and we'll be back here tomorrow and again on Thursday. Coming up tomorrow, I'm looking forward to our discussion. In our 10 o'clock hour, we'll talk with Dr. Stephen Metz, retired veterinarian, and he's extraordinary. So if you have any questions when it comes to pets, we kind of figure, you know, farm animal-related type things. So whether, you know, maybe your monkey is acting up at home, or maybe your cows, you have some questions about that. Dr. Metz can handle everything. So feel free to give us a call on that. Let's give a nice warm Radio Vermont welcome this morning to John Roberts. He is with the Agency of Agriculture, and he's working in the small farms area. So how many Chief Justice jokes do you have to put up with on any given week? And how are you going to rule on, you know, XB, whatever?
Yeah. Well, luckily that doesn't happen too often. Most of them know that that I'm not, because of my accent, I'm not the Chief Justice.
Okay.
Although I would like to
have that power.
I'd like to have that power occasionally.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So your job in working with small farms, I know the Secretary's resistant to talking too much about enforcement here. So let me ask you, and I know he wants to focus on cooperation and collaboration. So what are you going to be doing to help small farms?
Okay. First off, the AAPs were instituted 20 years ago. And up until my hiring, they were enforced on a complaint-driven basis. My understanding of the purpose for my hiring was not just to go and write tickets, but was to educate the farmers, remind them about the AAPs, and reach out to farmers beyond just the dairy farms. I mean, that's the focus in Vermont often is just the dairy farms.
Right.
Yes, they are 85% or 90% of the economic value of agriculture in Vermont. But there are many, many other things going on out there. You know, one of the issues I have found is the people who are not really farmers. They're not making their living out of agriculture, but they have half a dozen beef. They have four, five, or even 60 or 70 horses, and they don't realize that the AAPs apply to them too. And a horse, for example, can produce 10 tons of manure a year.
Right.
Well, you know, you got a bunch of them, and the pile of manure is near a stream. That's a potential risk. What I have been doing is doing a lot of education. It's basically, here are the AAPs. This is what they mean. And do you have an issue with that you'd like to talk about? That's my initial outreach, unless I've been called, you know, to say, please go check on this farm because we have a report of a discharge.
Okay.
That's a different kettle of fish. I've been doing mostly in Franklin County. That's where the agency has wanted me focused. And I've contacted right around 200 small farms in Franklin County, a lot of dairies, but a lot of some goat operations, some sheep operations, llamas, you know, anything.
Mm-hmm.
Often in my preliminary visit, the farmer might say, well, I've got this issue. I've been, you know, manure stacking or something like that. And I will go find them the technical help.
Okay.
I am not the guy to say, oh, this is the way to fix that, but I am the guy who is pretty resourceful about getting them the technical help and, if possible, some financial help. And we've done a bit of that. I am also now doing more and more actual inspections. And when I do my initial visit, I will, and gather basic information about their farm, I will warn them, you know, at some point I'm going to come back and do an inspection. Mm-hmm. And, and doing the inspection is touring basically their production facilities, maybe some of their fields, particularly if they grow corn, making sure there are buffers there in the area where it's appropriate, and making sure that their manure systems or their livestock production areas do not have runoff issues. If they do have runoff issues, you know, we don't sort of say, okay, that's a $500 fine. We do say, okay, you know, we've got 30 days. We're going to work out a plan to fix that.
Mm-hmm.
And if they are willing and cooperative, and 99% of them are, we will work out a plan to fix that. If they are uncooperative, or it could be a direct discharge. If it's a direct discharge, of course, then it goes over to the Agency of Natural Resources.
Right.
Who, you know, tend to be, they don't provide the technical help. They do enforce directly. But if it's an issue like that, that's sort of a separate issue. But if it's a non-point issue and it's not an egregious problem and, you know, it's not something, you know, we've told you, mm-hmm, five times to fix this and you haven't fixed it, we're going to take action now and make you fix it.
All right, let me have you put these headphones on here. We go to Lincoln. Owen, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Mark. I'm well. The governor mentioned in his speech that about 40% of the phosphate loading in Lake Champlain was due to agriculture. And we're kind of hammering on the farmers pretty seriously here. My question is, what's the other 60%, and is there going to be a focus on that also?
There has been discussion about stormwater runoff. That's one of the big components of it, too. There's also been discussion about the fertilizer that people use in their yards. Do you feel there's too much focus on the agriculture community, John? Is there too much pointing the finger at them? Too much blame?
No, I don't think there is. I think one has to face the realities. And the reality is, a huge part of Vermont is agricultural land. 1.2 million acres of Vermont is agricultural land. I mean, it's sort of a no-brainer that they are going to have issues. Having said that, I strongly believe that the farmers have the capability to minimize those runoff issues. There are the, not just the technologies, but there are the agronomic practices that they can institute to markedly reduce those risks of runoff. In a former life, I sat on the Water Resources Board when it was in existence for over 10 years. And we heard on that board, which is a semi-judicial board, appeals of stormwater permits. I particularly remember one for Lowe's on
that was a
Shelburne
big one.
Road.
Yep. Yep.
And, you know, there's no doubt that we have maybe not taken as much care with what comes off parking lots as we now pay attention to. And I think it's also true with farming that things change. We certainly know that leaving ground cornfields bare or ground bare over winter is probably not as good a thing as having a good cover crop on there. There's plenty of research that, for example, Heather Darby of UVM has done show what farmers can do. And there are many, many farmers who are doing those things and doing them successfully.
Can we have this many farms in Vermont, though, and not pollute?
I think that's a tricky question for me to answer. Yes, I'm a very optimistic person. I don't think I'm unrealistic. I think we can. There's a lot of things we can do, and a lot of things that are yet to be done. I mean, you know, we grow somewhere around 90,000 acres of corn. This last winter, I think we're talking 12 or 14,000 acres were cover cropped. So we've got a ways to go to cover crop the rest. I would love it if in 5 years, when you drove around Vermont, you did not see brown fields.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's some education, a lot of education that needs to be done. There's a lot of finding out what is the appropriate cover crop to grow, for example, that fits into the Vermont crop growing year. But there's no doubt that it can help hold the nutrients on the soil instead of having them have the risk of running off. But, you know, life has changed, as we all know, and just I've lived in Vermont for 40 years. The last 10 years we've had a greater number of these extreme rainstorms, when you can get 1-2 plus inches in a very short period of time, and that's quite a flood of water. Mm-hmm. And you know, we need to take that into account.
Mm-hmm. The secretary was telling me that there's some $30 million that they're looking at in spending in outreach, education, collaboration. Can you give me some idea here? So how do you know, I mean, how do you effectively spend that money and not have it wasted?
Well, that's going to be a very important point. I mean, I'm sort of, I'm not sure whether I'm fully qualified to answer that one, but a lot of the money is, as I understand it, is going to be administered through NRCS. And
what's that?
National Resource Conservation Service, which is part of USDA.
All right.
And in Vermont is the state conservationist is Vicky Drew. That is the federal part of this, and all this money is, or a good chunk of it, is coming through the federal highway. Now, you know, we, the state, will be working up, both the Agency of Ag and UVM Extension, others, and some of these newly formed farm groups, like the Watershed Alliance from Franklin County and the Champlain Valley Farmer Coalition. I mean, these are dedicated farmers who want to do the right thing, and many places are doing the right thing, and want to demonstrate to other farmers this is how you do it. And they vary. They are, some of them are organic, some of them are conventional. They're very, some of them are very big, some of the big farmers in the state, and some of them are fairly modest. So it covers a broad spectrum. So the money, it's going to be getting the program, getting the people to administer the program and oversee the program, and you know, direct it to the farmers in an effective way. And I think there's a big incentive to do that, because obviously, you know, if we're being given this money, first of all, we need it. We can certainly spend it. And secondly, we don't want to run into a situation where we're going to have to give any money back to the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
how many people are going to be working with you on this?
That I cannot answer, because I'm not, I mean, I can't answer because I don't really know. I know the agency has asked for more people.
Yes.
I know, I know the Farmers Watershed Alliance testified before the House and said, the Agency of Ag, need 25 more people. We're not going to get 25. But you do need more people. I mean, at yesterday's news conference, the Secretary of Ag, Chuck Ross, had a chart in which he showed, you know, there are four people dedicated to medium and large farms. I'm the sole small guy, and under my purview are 700 dairy farms and 6,300 other farms.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous, but it's part of the problem with AAPs, is they were instituted 20 years ago, and whoever it was, whether it was administrators, legislators, or whatever, the personnel to enforce this stuff or make sure farmers were aware of it was not carried through. And so now we're playing catch up.
Mm-hmm.
And but you know, again, as I mentioned, I've visited over 200 farms in Franklin County. I've only had two unpleasant experiences, and they weren't that unpleasant, but they were two experiences with people who didn't want me there.
Right.
And it was not because of issues.
I'm here from this state, and I'm here to help.
That's one phrase I never use.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to have more people. I mean, we've already said under the TMDL, proposed TMDL, we've got Missisquoi Bay, St. Almonds Bay, and South Lake that are severe challenges. And, you know, we need more people to get out to those farmers.
You said before somebody didn't do something, four or five, you got up to five before you would get to enforcement. Really?
Okay. We may not go five. I mean, I'm just throwing out a number there, but and it may only be one or two. It depends on the problem. It really depends on a problem about, you know, a manure issue is, I would suggest, a more serious problem than maybe a buffer isn't quite wide enough. Depends on the circumstances. That's the other problem, is every farm is different. Every farm has different challenges. I've seen farms where, you know, back in the 1800s, they built the barn and everything right next to a stream. Gosh,
mm-hmm.
you know, here's
yeah.
a beautiful source of water.
Right.
We've got the water. Now that's a real problem.
Yeah.
We don't want them next to streams, at least not that close. Partly because it doesn't leave you any buffer zone between the production area and the stream to institute some corrective action if they've got an issue.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's trying to find the right solution to the right problem on the right farm.
Thanks for your time this morning, John. I appreciate
it. Pleasure.
And good luck on the bench.
Thanks.
John Roberts, not the U.S. Supreme Court Chief Justice. He works with small farms here in Vermont, works for the Agency of Agriculture, Food, and Markets. We're broadcasting live this morning here at the Vermont Farm Show. We'll be back here same time, same place tomorrow. We'll take a quick break. Back after this.
Amy here from Auto Craftsman in Montpelier. If you're like most motorists, you keep up on your oil changes and repair the brakes and struts when needed. But I bet you're missing one of the most important services your car needs. I'm talking about protecting your vehicle from the dreaded Vermont rust. Auto Craftsman has the best rust-proofing solution around. Corrosion-free is a mineral oil product that is non-toxic, odor-free, and doesn't drip all over your garage. It helps protect your car from rust, and it dissolves and neutralizes existing rust and corrosion. Recommended, you get your vehicle undercoated every 18 months. And yes, we are still able to do undercoats right through the winter. For your convenience, we have the most comfortable waiting room in Vermont, a shuttle service, and loaner cars. For more information, call 223-2253 or go to our website at autocraftsman.com.
I'm Tracy Towers. I've been a dental hygienist in Vermont for 24 years. I believe an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure because I've seen firsthand the destruction that sugary drinks cause. Toddlers come into the office with soda-filled sippy cups. Teenagers are hooked on sugary sports drinks, and adults consume cases of soda per month. Despite our best efforts at educating our patients, there seems to be no decrease in consumption. Making the healthier choice the easier choice by taxing sugary drinks can help. Learn more at healthiervt.org.
Do you have water damage or soot damage? Call SR Services in Montpelier. They're the experts. Don't get discouraged if your home has been damaged by water from flooding or a leaky roof. SR Services has the equipment and expertise to restore the appearance of your home to like new again. They work on tile and grout floors, too. Gray grout lines will be white again, thanks to SR Services. For water and smoke damage or professional carpet cleaning, call SR Services at 223-6577. SR Services, 407 Barry Street in Montpelier, 223-6577.
Tragic as it was, a lesson was learned on Groundhog Day in New York City. Groundhogs squirm and squeal, so much that the esteemed mayor of the Big Apple dropped the unfortunate creature.
Oh no, he dropped the groundhog!
Sadly, it is my duty to report the groundhog died.
Varmint killer?
Rodent abuser?
The lesson? Do not pick up groundhogs. Woodchucks, on the other hand, are meant to be picked up and cuddled.
He's so cute. Goochie, goochie, goo.
So, Woodchucks of Vermont, join us for Woodchuck Day during Waterbury Winterfest, Monday, February 2nd, in Rusty's Park in Waterbury. dress as you think any self-respecting woodchuck should, and you might be elected 2015 Woodchuck of the Year. The campaigns begin at 8 a.m. with the election at 8:30. Then the woodchuck prediction about the length of winter. Don't miss it if you can. The mayor of New York is not invited. No woodchucks were harmed in the production of this message.
Back broadcasting live this morning at the Vermont Farm Show. It is Menashe Day here at the Vermont Farm Show. Let's give a nice warm Radio Vermont welcome this morning to Randy Quenville. Randy works with the Agency of Agriculture. He's in charge of the meat inspection program. Ooh, you must hate bacteria and E. coli and all things like that, right?
Absolutely. We try to keep that out as much as we can.
So have we had any problems of that, those kinds of problems here in Vermont?
I think, most of the plants now have their procedures in place that they're able to control it so that it doesn't get out into the marketplace. And so the answer is no, we haven't had anything with Vermont products that have caused that kind of dilemma in the marketplace.
I was just, one of the themes I'm hearing this morning from folks who work in your agency is that, it's grossly understaffed. People like John are looking at, 700 small farms, another 6,000, that's just dairy, and then is at like 6,000 farms. So are you able to actually do enough meat inspections?
Well, I think, we're getting to the place. We have our stuff we have to be there at every day for slaughter, every day for the further processing of stuff being sold. Some of the stuff that is getting by is, the small operators. We don't get to check on their sanitation. Some of the retail stores, we should be there more often than we are. Last year, the legislature did give us a couple of more meat inspector positions, which has greatly helped out. We've got those guys are trained. We do a lot of work for the federal government that they fund us back for in order to help the federal plants keep working, and so that's working out really good there. So we could always use more people, just try and do as much as we can and get the information out there. A lot of the technical assistance that we try to do as well, that's some of the stuff that suffers because we just don't have the time to get to the people. But that's a big part of what we do, is helping those small producers figure out what they need to do to be able to get into the marketplace.
At one point, we were talking to the secretary this morning about education versus enforcement. At what point do you move from education to enforcement?
I think it's usually we always try the education first, and we always strive for voluntary compliance. And so normally if somebody does do something that is against the regulations, we'll go and see them, we'll talk to them, tell them what they need to do to come under compliance. And then if they just either they choose, then either they can do it or they're not going to do it. If they stop, then that's fine. If they continue to do it after they've been warned, then it does turn into an enforcement.
What's the thing that people don't know? What's the biggest thing you have to educate people about?
I think basic sanitation. I think everybody wants to do a good job, but I think that there's people that try to do this without the actual skills to be able to do it effectively and efficiently. And then I think so there's a lot of people that have faith in their local farmer, but they don't really know if they know what they're doing either. So I think that's the thing is ideally, some people don't like the government looking at their food, but ideally, we're just small farmers just like they are. And so, but we have those skills. We've been trained to look for those kind of disease conditions and things that can affect their product. And so that's the thing. They don't know. A lot of people just want to wash manure off a carcass. Well, you really can't wash bacteria. That's got to be trimmed and things like that. So.
Okay. Hey, thanks for your time this morning.
Yeah, my pleasure.
We'll chat more on another day.
All right. You take care.
Randy Quenville is in charge of meat inspection with the Agency of Agriculture. That's going to wrap things up for today here at the Vermont Farm Show. Thanks for joining us. This is FM 96.1 WDEV Warren, AM 550 WDEV Waterbury, Montpelier. News coming your way next.
But New York and New Jersey haven't gotten as much snow as feared. Our Warren Levinson is in New York City.
The morning after getting much less snow than forecast, New York and New Jersey lifted a travel ban and started bringing subways and commuter trains back to life. Governor Andrew Cuomo, who closed the roads, says they're passable, but still dangerous.
If you have to travel, you can, but if it's non-essential, we wouldn't recommend.